Okay, I'm going to get right there, but you know, this is the special Thanksgiving Sunday. We're going to have Thanksgiving on Thursday, and it's like running really late, and they're all telling us on TV that we don't have as many shopping days as we used to between, it's going to be a week short between Thanksgiving and Christmas because they put it at the end of the month. And the other day, I was at Save Mart, and a young man standing there, when I started to leave, he said, "Happy Turkey Day." And I said, "Well, happy Thanksgiving." I thought, it's not about a turkey. And I knew what the young man was saying. It's sweet. You know, a lot of people use that slang. And it's cute. But isn't it hilarious or ironic, however you want to say it? But isn't it funny that we spend Thanksgiving Day, you know, that's a day around the world, and for us to give thanks, or at least in America, to give God thanks for all he's done and for our wonderful nation. So we have this one day to give him thanks. I was thinking last night, you know, maybe we should have Thanksgiving 364 days a year. And then that one extra day we have, spend that whining and griping and complaining. One day, I mean, just let it all out. And then spend the next 364 days praising God. You know why? Because the devil hates it. See, that's the place where he used to be as Lucifer. Now, you can read it in the book of Ezekiel or Isaiah. He was the covering cherub in front of God, right before the throne. And the Bible says that he looked like jewels. I mean, he had all these beautiful jewels of beryl and topaz and rubies and emeralds and onyx and diamonds. I mean, he was just one big piece of jewelry. I mean, just not jewelry, but beautiful stones. And then the Bible also talks about him as being like a musical instrument, because while he was in front of the throne, music would come out of him. And he would worship right in front of God. And he was the covering angel. And he just loved worshiping. And everyone was worshiping. But as he began to notice, and it's hard to believe that this would even happen in heaven, but as he was worshiping and seeing all the people, and we don't know how many years he was there doing that. It could have been eons, you know, of time in heaven, because what's eternity? Just plain old forever. And so there he was, you know, just always this beautiful instrument. And the Bible says there was no one more beautiful than him there or on earth. And so there he was worshiping, but I don't know how hell got into him. But then he begins to say, "I will lift myself up and I will be a god in. And I will get to worship, and I will, and I will." And boy, God didn't put up with that for 1 minute. I mean, he just got Michael, said, "Hey, get down there," and put him down to the earth, and he made him crawl on his belly like a serpent. And he said, "All the kings will see you, and you will be so ashamed of yourself." And so now he has nothing. Okay, now, you and I here today, we're right in the presence of the Lord. Do you think that him, Satan himself, and the imps of hell, do you think they like that for 1 minute? That's why they try to keep everybody they can away from the house of God. But thank God you and I made it today. Because he doesn't want us here, and he certainly doesn't want us worshiping and praising God. So what do we do the day after Thanksgiving? Well, I don't. Because I'm not patient enough to stand in these big crowds and fight other women to get in to buy a new phone. Or I'll just wait. But the next day is Black Friday. The next day, after we give God praise, after we thank him for everything, the next day we let all of our selfishness run out, all of our material thinking, and we run out to get the best deals possible. And we just hoard it up. Just get out there. Those women, my mother used to get out, her and Lainey, they would run out there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Are you guys nuts? Oh, no, look at all the great deals we're going to get." So anyway, So now, did you, I know you know this, this is most amazing. For all these years, Black Friday has been right after Thanksgiving. Do you know they did that last Friday? I'm like, now why would you want to spoil it? I mean, I don't go out there, but I kind of like all these little traditions. You know, I like them. I'm like, don't spoil that for us. Okay, I wanted it next week. I wanted it right after Thanksgiving. But they don't care what I want. So anyway, it's just, you know, Satan's always tried to stop that power of praise. And there's such power and there's such blessing that will change our lives in being thankful and being grateful. And I know I told you this a year or so ago. I talked to you about a little journal I had, and I learned it from somebody off of TBN. And they were talking about their journal that they wrote in, and it was a grateful journal. And the only things you wrote in that little book was things you were thankful for. And I still do that. My journal ran out about a month ago, so I got to buy me a new one, because that's only for that. No prayer requests, not anything else except what you're thankful for. And there were sometimes I just would thank God, Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful first cup of coffee this morning. You know, I mean, just be thankful for the little things and the big things and the beautiful things and the presence of the Lord and the church and your family. And so anyway, you might try that, because there is no greater power. And there's no greater blessing than to be thankful and have a heart full of praise and a mind full of praise. But I'm going to tell you right now, the demons of hell will fight you for it. Because Satan used to stand in that place. Maybe I'll read you those descriptions. Maybe I should have took time for it this morning, but we will move on, because I want to read you this little story. And I was so thankful to get this story, because it took me on to the message that I want to bring this morning. And I was just going to tell you about it, but I was afraid I would leave some important information out. So listen, if you can, please. September 8, 2010 marked the 150th anniversary of the sinking of the Lady Elgin, the worst tragedy ever seen on the Great Lakes. This event loomed large, okay, in Lake Michigan history. Just before midnight on September 7th, 1860, a sidewheel steamboat named Lady Elgin left Chicago bound for Milwaukee. The almost 400 passengers on the steamer were returning from a long day's outing. The Lady Elgin sighted the Augusta schooner. That's like the big sailboat. And it was filled with lumber about 2:30 a.m. Visibility was poor. The storm clouds raged, and the waves were intense. And the Augusta's load of lumber shifted, and the two boats collided. And within minutes, the atmosphere on the Lady Elgin went from maritime to pandemonium. The Augusta, sustaining minimum damage, sailed on to Chicago with a large hole in its side, but the Lady Elgin sank within a half hour. People were only able to get in three or four of the lifeboats. The larger upper hurricane deck fell straight into the water and served as a raft for some 40 people. And although the ship crashed 2 to 3 miles off the shore of Highland Park, the waves were so strong, the survivors, the bodies, the debris were swept down to the northern shore of Winnetka. And at that time, the lake shore in this area consisted of a narrow strip of beach rising up to the clay cliffs almost 50 feet high. The storm had churned up in an angry line of breakers. About 6:30 a.m., the first of three lifeboats made it to shore in the vicinity of the Jarred Gage House. Okay, it still stands. Immediately, a call for assistance went out from the Gage House, and the residents rode horses down to Northwestern University and the Garrett Bible Institute to find young men to help pull out the survivors. Okay, I'll just, let me save a few words right here. There was a young man at that Northwestern Seminary going to Bible college. He was going to be a minister, and he was a great swimmer. And this man's name, this young man, about 22 years old, his name was Edward Spencer. Now, don't forget that, because you might want to read this. It's really interesting to read it when you get home. Edward Spencer, okay? And so these young men, so they ran over to get all the help they could get. And this young man ran out there, and some of his friends decided, since he was the best swimmer, that he would swim out into the ocean to see if he could see anyone, survivors that needed help and were screaming. And so the others tied a rope around his body in case he started going down and he had to hold somebody, they could pull him out. And so this happened. And let's see. So he pulled the first one to safety, and then he pulled another, and he pulled another, and he pulled another. And the kid was just exhausted. And yet the people with the rope kept pulling the rope and pulling them in. And God gave him grace and strength to save over 17, not over, but 17 people survived. And he got them up to the shore, and he had to be taken to the hospital because he was totally exhausted mentally and physically. Well, when they got him to the hospital, they find out that he's got a lot going on in his body. And then he was paralyzed and emotionally distressed. He could hear the screams of the people. And that night in the sea just wrecked him. And he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair and didn't go on into ministry. And so he just kept asking his brother when he came to. It was in just a brief coma or unconsciousness. And he said, did I do the best I could do? Did I save as many as I could? And they did. They saved 17. And later on, here's where I said all that to say this. Remember, his name is Edward Spencer, 1860. So they battled. I mean, it sounds like a long time, but they did battle. And it would have been like 2 days, I suppose. But he battled those raging waves for 6 hours. 6 hours while it was yet dark. Got those people out, okay? But after a while, somebody asked him, I know you heard the screams. And I know it was a situation that caught you not only by surprise, but you being such a great swimmer. You heard the screams, you heard the cries, and we see the results on your body and your emotions. But what's the worst thing about it? And this young man said this. He said, you know, he said, out of those 17 people, not one came back to say thank you for saving my life. Not one. That's a true story, true story. No one even came back to say, I sure appreciate what you did. And with that, I thought, that's just the saddest thing. But he said, you know, that's not my big deal. I'm glad God used me to do what we did, okay? But he was just saying, the hearts of the people, how could they not say thank you to anyone? But that reminded me of some guys in the Bible, and I'm sure most of you know where I'm going. But let me say, those men, those 17 men and women or children, whoever they were, it doesn't tell us who they were. But those 17 people, I'll say this, they missed Thanksgiving. They missed Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving night, whenever they could have thanked him. Or God wrote him a letter or something. So let's just turn over to Luke 17, and I'll show you some men that behaved the same way a couple of thousand years ago. And then we'll bring it up to now, because we're coming to the Lord's table in just a few minutes. Let me introduce you to these men. Most of you already know them. Some of you may have never heard this story, but you'll see how it runs together. You'll see all these truths run parallel. All right, Miss Tana, haven't seen you there in a long time. Amen. All the way back from Tennessee for a little while. Luke 17, Well, let me get over there with you. Ah. Okay. Luke 17:11. I'll just read it all and then we'll go back. Luke 17:11. Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him there 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "You go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And then he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were not any found who would return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, "Arise and go your way." He said to him, that one man, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Old King James. New King James says, "Your faith has made you well." Well, when you look at verse 11 and you see that Jesus passed through Samaria, I'm going to tell you right now, the Jews hated Samaria. Samaritans. The Jews hated them, but Jesus loved them. And people in their right mind would not want to go through Samaria. They didn't want to go through Samaria. Man, there were many lepers that lived there. But the lepers, they had their own little colony. They put them out into their own little city, their own little town, their own little stores, their own little temple. And they were commanded. They had to just let their hair just fall. Don't ever comb it. Don't ever do anything. Just let it fall down straight or curly or whatever it was. And then you stay about 100 feet from anyone that might come near you. Stay 100 feet away. And with that stringy hair hanging down, then when somebody comes near, you put your hand over your top lip and you scream, "Unclean! Unclean! Don't come near me! I'm unclean!" They had to say that about themselves. Okay, but a Samaritan, this guy from Samaritan, not only was he a leper, I'm telling you, he had double issues going on. He was a leper, which discarded him anyway. He was hated. But he was also a Samaritan, which was less than a dog. Okay, it was like a Gentile. He was nobody. See, you and I were once in that category. We were nobodies. The Gentile people, unless you were Jewish, you were nobody. But when you look at what Jesus did, Jesus went right into that village. And I've got a feeling he went right on into that that colony where these lepers were. But notice that when he went in, they didn't cry, "Unclean, unclean." What did they say? "Master, oh Jesus, have mercy on us." They heard by faith that he was somebody that could do something about their mess, about their sickness, about their disease. And the leprosy was the one thing, all 10 of these guys, the only thing that all 10 of these guys had in common was leprosy. And I want to say not only to you young people, but watch out. I was sitting in the hospital one day. A mother was having a surgery, and her young man, who her son, he was about 16 or 18. He had a lot of problems, you know, little issues. And he started dating. He just started coming to the youth group, but he started dating this little girl in the youth group. And my goodness, she's the worst one in the whole group he could have dated. She had more issues than he did. But she was at mama's surgery with him. Well, the thing was, is I got to talk to them. And it was pretty exclusive because it was just them and me and no one was in that room. So I said, well, this is neat. You guys, tell me how you met. And this young man says, oh, I'm telling you. He says, we have so much in common. We have everything in common. Oh, and it was all the worst things in the world, from drugs to alcohol to weed to smoke, you know, all kinds of things. But, man, they had stuff in common. It was just good. And he goes, he says, you know what, Pastor? I am never going to date a girl that was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. And I'm like, listen, honey, listen. There is not a girl in this world that was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Not a boy, not a man, not a woman. Now, some may look like it or act like it, but you know what? No, but some just kind of begin to walk in blessing, walk in prosperity. But go ahead, why would you not? I mean, I'd rather date a girl that I thought had a silver spoon in her mouth than somebody just like me. Mom and daddy's over here. They've been married 10 times. And, you know, I did drugs. She did drugs. And now we're back together. Okay, I'm going somewhere with that. I just don't know where it was going. I'm going to keep going. Don't worry. But you've got to pay attention. Because Satan will try to trip you up with the wrong people, the wrong place, give you a different vision of what that means. And if he can thwart you, he can throw you off. And that's all that he wants to do, is get you away from any kind of worship and thinking God and growing deeper in God. So kids, I'm just telling you to be careful. You don't have to talk like somebody else, look like them, act like them, smell like them, do what they do to be popular. You just be who you are. And if you have a silver spoon, don't you date a guy like that. And guys, you shouldn't be reaching for that either. I'm just telling you, you just... But these lepers had to separate themselves. There's times where you will have to separate yourself from the people at school. There's times where you'll feel like, oh, they're over here in this camp, but if you go in, what are you going to get? But like Brother Larry, he was an evangelist. He witnessed, and Jesus wasn't afraid of any of them. And you and I cannot be afraid. And I'm not saying don't minister to them. I'm just saying wait until they get saved before you start getting too close and get kissy-kissy face with them. Who am I talking to this morning? I don't know, but somebody might need it. I hope you do anyway. No, I hope you don't. But you might. But this leper, you had 9 of them. The only thing they had in common, was leprosy, like that little boy and girl. The only thing they had in common was their own leprosy. Okay? The only thing it had in common, but very soon they had something else in common. And this is very, very good. So when Jesus, they met him and they stood afar off. Notice they didn't get up close because they had to stand afar off. They stood back here and yelled at him because they couldn't get up close. But what they didn't know, he wasn't afraid of them, but still they stood back. So Jesus honored them and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And you know what? He just answered them like this. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Because it was the priest, when they first got leprosy, he had to look at their sores and their skin turning white and turning loose and the limbs falling off. He had to look at them, and it was the priest that pronounced them to them that they had leprosy. and had to tell the world that they had leprosy. But what Jesus was saying, he knew this, the priest also had to declare them healed. When they got whole, they had to go back to the priest, and he would say, you're whole and you're healed. So now he says, well, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't heal them. He didn't touch them. He didn't lay a hand on them. He just said, now, you go show yourself to the priest. And they didn't argue with him. They submitted to his way. They didn't say, that's not what we were looking for. We wanted you to lay hands on us. They didn't say anything like that. They just lifted their faith up in their spirit, just picked it up and went on with nothing. Amen? They went on with nothing. They walked on, and by the time they're walking down the road, it doesn't even say that they got to the priest. And they're walking on, and before they got there, they were all healed. Their limbs begin to grow back. Their ears begin to come back. Their eyes got back in the socket. Their bandages, they took them off, and their skin was like baby skin. And they're all healed. And all they had was just walking by faith, and they just left him and did exactly what he said. I'm telling you, there is power in just doing what Jesus tells you to do. Doesn't matter what your friends say. You can always find those with things in common with you. But do what you feel to do in your heart and in the Word of God. So when I see here, he says, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed in verse 14. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. And with a loud voice, I mean, he was, Old King James says, I think he cried the really loud voice. He fell down on his face. He was still used to having to stand 100 feet away. Verse 16, he fell down on his face at the feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, giving him thanks. Excuse me, and he was a Samaritan. It mentions it again. So not only is he like an alien, an outcast, he had leprosy, and he was a Samaritan. So two of the saddest questions as I was reading this, I thought, Lord, that is so sad that you had to ask that question. And I was so happy that I found that little story about Edward Spencer. And I thought, your heart, that young man's heart must have broke like Jesus's. Because in verse 17, Jesus answered that leper as he was worshiping him. And Jesus didn't even say, thank you for your praise. He wondered about the others. Jesus says, well, wait a minute. Were there not 10 cleansed? Number one question, weren't there 10? Number two, where are the other 9? Where are the 9? That's heart-wrenching. To think that somebody wouldn't heal him. Were there not any found who returned and give glory to God? Except this foreigner? I mean, he was really worse off. He was worse off. At least these lepers could praise God, but not you. You're an outcast. But Jesus says, is he the only one, this foreigner? And then he says to that sweet young man or old man, however old he was, arise, you go your way because your faith has made you whole. I mean, you're just clean. You are forgiven. So now not only did he get physically healed, he got spiritually healed. His whole being, his mind, his body, his spirit, everything that poor man had gone through all those years, all that intimidation, all that inferiority, it was gone. Totally, totally gone. Now, the one thing they all had in common now wasn't leprosy because they didn't have it anymore. But the one thing they had in common were they were all healed. Every single one of them. They were all healed. But I thought, Lord, I wonder why those 9 men missed Thanksgiving dinner. See, this boy, he got his Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, he got it all. You wonder, why didn't they come back? I wonder, I wonder if they just went home to tell their family, we're healed, and I mean, you could kind of see that. Or they were set apart, and they couldn't go into a store. I don't know if they had stores then, but they had places to go to buy things. But they could join in now. They could go where people were, and they didn't have to say, unclean, unclean. They could be proud of who they were. They didn't have those nasty, bloody bandages all over them. They were just clean and whole, and now they're just like everybody else. How could it be they're like everybody else? And I think, well, maybe they just had to go play a little bit, and maybe they were just too busy. One lady told me once, years ago, they came here and they had nothing, and they came and God just started blessing them and blessing them, blessing them. They got it was like a new home. They got a new car. I mean, it's just a couple of years old Lincoln. And they were just blessed, blessed, blessed. And I noticed they started missing church. Some of you missed them. I missed them. So I called the house one day, and I said to her, hey, we sure have been missing you at church. How come you haven't been with us? And she says, oh, Pastor, we have been so blessed. We've had to stay home and take care of our blessings. I don't know if somebody gave them these dogs of a great breed, but they started breeding dogs and making a lot of money, and oh, Pastor, we had to stay home and take care of our blessings. And I said, honey, look. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you may not have any blessings to take care of if you don't take care of him first. And you bless the Lord. Oh, wow, Pastor, come on, we still love him. I know, but you're not coming to his house. You're not worshiping with us. You're not praising. See, we can get so busy. She was busy with her blessings, and now these men, again, I look at them, and I'm thinking, well, you can't hardly blame those poor guys. You know, they want to go show themselves and go to their family. They can now go into their family's home that didn't have leprosy, but they forgot the one that gave that to them. What has he done for you? Have you thanked him? I just want to ask you today, now, which colony do you live in? Are you going to hang out with the one? Are you on his side? Or are you on the nine side where you forget to say thank you? And you know what? That even goes for your children. Be thankful when your children do something for you. Be thankful when your friend does something or your coworker does something. Make sure you say thank you, even if it was the smallest of little things. Parents, you're thankful to your children, thankful to each other, but it is so very important that we have appreciation and thanks. And it wouldn't hurt us this Thanksgiving meal as we sit around the tables together or wherever you're going to be, that you have time to maybe go around the table, and it may be a little uncomfortable for your family if you've never done it, and just say what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my daughter. I mean, just tell somebody what you're thankful for. It's okay. I mean, we're thanking Jesus, and he's right there at our table with us. So it's a very important thing because there's so many blessings. And only this foreigner, the foreigner is the one that got the rest. Okay, I know you're blessed. I know we're blessed, but wouldn't it be great to get the rest? To get the wholeness? I mean, get all of it. While we're getting, we may as well just get it all. Healing, prosperity, salvation, blessing, deliverance. What if you really started praising him and he took away that addiction you have? What if that thing left you and you say, Pastor, I've been battling with that thing for 20 years. But what if it left you? What if you could just unwrap yourself and you'll never be the same and you'll never have to go through it again? It could be, but would you just give him praise for what he's done? Hallelujah. Woo! There's power. Power and blessing. And I love it that he got all the rest that Jesus had for him. And so those poor guys totally missed out. Totally missed out on that Thanksgiving Day. All right, here's one of the biggest questions that I've had over the years in ministry. When I was out on the road, I remember one time we were this little old woman. In fact, I was doing a women's conference that day. I was doing the church revival and did a women's conference same week. And this little woman was about 80 years old, and she came up to me and she said, "Pastor, or Paulette, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what his will is for me." And that's the biggest question I ever get asked in the pulpit, in the prayer lines, just visiting with you maybe over dinner, and you know you get it too. And this came to me that day, and I gave it to that sweet little lady, and I give it to you today, 1 Thessalonians, and it'll tell every one of you what his will is for you. And by the way, that one of you that's at that crossroad, don't worry about it. I'm just telling you, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. He knows which way you're going to take. He created that way, so he knows. All right, back to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Robert, give me a nod when it's up, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. I want you all to see it, so I'm going to wait. All right, look at this. We'll start with verse 16. Rejoice always. Be happy. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. In everything, give thanks. Why? Why? Read it. What? In everything, give thanks because of what? This is the will of Christ Jesus for you. So you're just operating in God's will when you praise him. Now, I'll go a bit farther. I didn't get this for you, but there's another thing right there in 1 Thessalonians. This says, and this is the will of God concerning you, that you know how to abstain from fornication. Well, I think most can do that. If you're having a problem with that, he said, well, it's my will that you don't do that. But this is what he was talking about today. Give me thanks in all things. And then some of you might be sitting out there, Pastor, it doesn't say for all things, it says in all things. No, it does too. It says give him thanks for all things as well. That doesn't mean you like it. My goodness, you guys, we've all gone through stuff that's just been so painful and so hurtful and so, you know, broke our hearts. And Satan would like for you to feel defeated, but you're not. And these things that just hurt. You see, I can't give God praise for that. I can't. You know, poor Joyce Myers, look at her ministry. But boy, we wouldn't want to go through what she went through to get there. And so Joyce says during that time she was a little girl, she said, I didn't know how to give God praise. But now she says, I give him thanks and I praise him for whatever he worked out of that mess. He didn't cause it, but there's something good, for all things work together for good to those who are called of God and love him. But this is his will concerning us, that we give God thanks in all things. Now, when the Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise, you know, when I was younger, I'd get all probably prideful maybe, say, I don't even know what that means. The sacrifice of praise. It's never a sacrifice for me to worship God. Oh, no, honey, just wait. Just you hold on. You'll get into some places where it's a real sacrifice. for you to praise God when you're going through that that you don't understand, and it's the craziest thing you ever heard of, and how in the world could that happen, and why would it happen anyway, and why me? And so all of this happens. So when you give him a praise in those night seasons, in those times that you don't understand, and they're hurtful, you don't see any way out, you don't see any light in that tunnel, that I can tell you right now, if you learn to give him thanks and praise and rejoice while you're in it, you get the whole ball of wax. You get all the blessings, Sandra. All of it. Stand with me today. All right, now look. Amen. Clap your hands for the word. That's good. That was a good word. I know we've heard that word a million times about the lepers, but you know what? The Holy Spirit, if he preached that another 100,000 times before Jesus came, he would preach it a different way every time. I mean, revelation. You cannot preach it any other way. But when revelation comes, it says something else. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. So when we come to the Lord's table, we have come to give Jesus thanks for what he did for us. He did so much more than little Edward Spencer did, and that young man spent his life for those 6 hours of saving those people. Jesus was on that cross one afternoon, and he saved us, and he brought us out of that fire and out of that hell and out of that predicament we were in. I mean, we were headed for hell as much as Satan was himself, and yet he delivered us and brought us out. Don't you think that we need to come to his table with thanksgiving in our heart and a praise on our lips? Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, slip your hands up to him right now and give him praise before we come. Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we were in deep waters too, just like those poor people. We were in deep waters, but we didn't drown. We made it. We made it out. Just like that Samaritan. He was a messy boy. And Lord, just like the lepers, no one could even get near them. And Lord, there were times where nobody wanted to get near us. But Lord, you saved us. You brought us out. And look at us. Look at this beautiful congregation. Lord, the Nazarenes are down the street. And they're a beautiful bunch of people. And the believers are downtown. Another beautiful group of people in your kingdom. Lord, over at Glad Tidings. And Lord, there's so many good churches. And Lord, over at the Catholic Church, there's some folks in there that really love you. But Lord, we're all a part of this colony. Not just a colony, but the kingdom. We want to come and thank you. No, you're not Edward Spencer. You're Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, thank you for sending him, for cutting us loose from those things that held us bound. You loosed us. And if there is a man, a woman, or a young person in this room right now that says, I am still held bound. I am held bound. I don't know how to get free. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we as a church throw the rope of salvation around their waist, around their head, around their loins, and say, come out from among them and be ye healed and separated. The lepers were separated unto you now. At one time they were separated from people, but now they're separated to you, and we're separated unto you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance toward you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, go in the name of the Lord. Amen.